Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I am your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? I hope you're all doing well, wherever you are listening or watching the show. We appreciate you. My guests this time around is the fantastic Grey Wind. I sat down with Steph and Paul, who are brother and sister who make up Grey Wind. This is a fantastic conversation. We chat all about their brand new single called Antidote, which dropped at the end of 2023 as we are recording this conversation. And we also chat about them going on tour supporting As December Falls, as well as a couple of headline shows themselves. We talk about the music industry, we talk about their career, we talk about all the good stuff. It's a really, really great, energetic, fun conversation. I'm really, really thankful to have it, and I'm really, really thankful to the lovely folk over at Major for sorting this one out. Massive shout out to Sarah for sorting this, and a massive shout out to Steph and for Paul for coming on the show. If you would like to help support the show, you can by going over to social media, searching up Nevermind Polly Podcast. We are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, and I do believe possibly might even be on TikTok at this point, if I can be bothered, to be perfectly honest. We talk a lot about social media in this conversation, so it's kind of prevalent as well. So yeah, enjoy my conversation with Steph and Paul of Grey Wind on the Nevermind Polly Podcast. Let's get to it. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And it's my absolute pleasure to say, I believe in the first time in 4 years, we're going to Ireland. We are chatting to the excellent Steph and Paul of the band Grey Wind. How are we doing, guys? How's things?
Great, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
I'm good. We had a bit of a techie nightmare about 5 minutes ago, but we'll move swiftly past all that. I do just need
survive.
Absolutely. I do just need to make everyone aware. Obviously, we're recording this at the end of December. Christmas hasn't happened yet, hence the decorations in my background. So I've not gone completely crazy, and I've just had decorations in January. But yeah, I want to talk basically everything Grey Wind, because you guys have had a heck of a ride thus far as a band and things. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to kind of, my first real talking point is you guys are going out on tour in January, hence the reason for this conversation and things. Heading out is direct support for As December Falls, who are the loveliest bunch of human beings. Had them on the show, really looking forward to that. And also headline shows yourselves in January. My first real question is, how is tour prep coming along with Christmas stuff, and how's it all been?
Yeah, it's great. I just can't wait to play shows again, because it's been so long, and we're going to be playing lots of new songs as well. So it's going to be nice to have them added into our set. And like you said, As December Falls are such lovely people, so we can't wait to tour with them and then do our own sprinkle of little headline shows. And
we've been sitting on these songs for like so long. So getting to play them live for the first time, even like our new single Antidote came out last month, and the reaction has been like absolutely insane. So we're so excited to play that live for the first time as well. So it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun.
Absolutely. And I wanted to kind of touch on Antidote to begin with as well, because that is obviously the new single as well. And obviously you touched on it there. How has the reaction been? Because how I discovered you guys as a band, I'll get into it in a moment. But yeah, what was the reaction like of being to the single and things?
Like, even last night it went viral on TikTok, which is like got 100,000 views in 24 hours, which is kind of crazy now these days, like the power to reach like hundreds of thousands of millions of people is just there. Before, you'd need to get on like on your music video on TV or having a massive label pushing you. So it feels like it's such a special time for artists to get discovered like organically now. So but yeah, the reaction to Anto has been absolutely incredible.
I just feel like people completely get what we were going for. They know the little nods to nostalgic bands, but then we're obviously doing our classic Grey Wind esque thing with it, so I feel like the reaction's been amazing.
And it's a song we've been like, we demoed that back in 2017, so we've like every song people are about to hear, like we've been singing on them for a long time. So it's like
our first album came out when like, and we had written these songs, so it was we've been sitting on these for a very, very long time.
So I love it kind of like emo is so in right now, and it's kind of like we've already had these songs for so long. Like, instead of like, okay, emo's in now, let's like, some bands would be like, okay, I need to become an emo band now. It's kind of, we've been singing on these songs for like years, and we're like, the reaction, like you said, has been amazing.
And that's the thing as well. So I don't want to sound too much like a boomer, right? But I'm sat here, I turned 31 in March next year, right? So, and again, how I discovered your band, right? So the lineage of, quick lineage of how I discovered your band. Steph, you were obviously on Saplin Podcast, who I fucking love. And it was a fantastic interview. So I was like, that's really cool. And then, again, this is the power of, you know, AI and the algorithm listening to everything we say. I opened TikTok and the first thing that came up was you guys. And I was like, ah, okay, they're definitely listening to me. which is the weirdest thing. So I kind of wanted to ask, obviously, like, a lot of bands, you know, predominantly get into bands to write music and to kind of be an artist, things like that. But nowadays you have to be a social media manager, you have to be your own marketing team, you have to be this, you have to be that. How do you kind of find that balance of being like, cool, we're in a band, we want to write music, we want to write songs, but also we've got to nurture this other side and this other thing that we have to do. It's like I say, it's almost doing 3 or 4 different jobs, you know?
Yeah, I feel like I'm very lucky that Paul is the best social media manager. People think I do everything. I literally do nothing.
I just
have the camera in front. Paul just puts the camera in front of me.
Like, the amount of messages like we've got, I was like, oh my God, who's your social media manager? I'm like, it's just me. The thing about it is that I love it.
Yeah, you know.
When we had 10 followers on Instagram and 10 followers on TikTok, I just loved always like posting and just seeing, like, even getting one view or one new fan. So I've always loved it. I know some bands go online and they just, I hate that I have to post all this
and
now.
I feel like you have to kind of adapt with the times.
Yeah.
Like, I think, I know it's annoying for some, like Paul just said, like some people hate doing it, but if you want to live your dream and be successful, you have to adapt with the times. It's like when CDs changed into streaming, bands and artists had to adapt with that, which was, people hated it, but I feel like that's what's happening now.
I think just people are just drama queens. Like, you could literally just you could record your song for it, take 3 minutes of you performing it, and you can cut that into 10 separate videos. You have 10 weeks worth of posts. So I think people are just very lazy. They want things handed to them. For example, we started this band like years ago, and like we've just been building and building and just not stopped. And we haven't been complaining about anything, even though we've been treated badly by the music industry during this period. But we've just never...
We just get on with it
and always appreciate every fan who's discovered our music. But
so I feel like if you want to be discovered in any way or just gain some new fans, then just, like Paul said, just press record for like a minute. It doesn't take long.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that difficult.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I'm gonna harp back to the interview stuff that you done with the Saplin lads, because I think you spoke so brilliantly and so eloquently on that in terms of what's happened over the last few years with Grey Wind as a band. And I don't really want to mistell your story, and also I don't want you guys to repeat yourselves in that respect either. So basically, I'm saying go and listen to Saplin after this, because they are a fucking great podcast and they're lovely over there. So one thing I do want to say is focusing on 2024 and the future, because I think that's the thing. Whenever you come out of any kind of adversity, whether it's personal, business, in a band, whatever you may be doing, it's always good to be like, cool, that was shit, now let's look forward. So what kind of are you kind of looking forward to in 2024? What's kind of the motivating ahead, you know?
I think just releasing all of these songs that we've been sitting on and just touring, because I feel like those are the two things that every band does that we've been so deprived of. So we just can't wait to, like I had said on the Saplin podcast, just to be able to tour. Like, I feel like we've been so starved of playing live shows that I can't wait to just go to as many places as possible.
Even like thanks to like Instagram and TikTok, like our fan base has grown like massively in the last couple of months. So getting to play, like, for a lot of people, we're the completely new band. That's what some people I think miss as well, if they think I can't promote a song that came out 4 years ago. If I discover a new song today, it's new today for me.
Yeah, of course.
So our fan base, we have a completely like new fan base, and just like getting to like playing in the US for the first time. Getting to US has always been like our number one goal, and that's something we're working on massively now. Even like on TikTok and Instagram, like 70 to 80% of our followers are US based. For sure. So you mean it's amazing seeing our fan base grow over there. So we're so excited to just like tour the world in the in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I wanted to take things right back to the very beginning, right back to the core, because a lot of bands I've interviewed, I've done this for 4 years now, and a lot of bands I've interviewed have talked about the fact that they're a brotherhood or a family. You guys are literal family. So I was super interested to find, because that's the thing, to have one kind of creative sibling is one thing, but to have two creative siblings in the same family, and then you both kind of put your heads together and go, this is what we're going to do. Like, and that's the thing, like, for me and my sister, for example, we're not musicians or that, but we live and breathe music. My brother couldn't give a toss about it. He just thinks it's so, do you know what I mean? It's so different and so weird how families kind of work like that. How did it all kind of begin for you? Was it family kind of influencing music decisions and things like that? How does music kind of start for you guys as artists and things?
So we've always been surrounded by music. Like, our mom is a singer as well. She sings like classical music and stuff, and she started writing her own songs and stuff, and she teaches music as well. So I'm so lucky that she could teach me how to sing, but they never like force us to do music. It was always just, they were always so supportive in whatever we wanted to do. And then obviously we went through our emo phase and discovered My Chemical Romance, and I was like, okay, I always knew I wanted to sing, but when I saw My Chemical Romance, I was like, okay, I want to be in a band. And then Paul picked up a guitar and we just started going busking, and we always had that common interest of, like you said, with you and your sister, of we just love music, and I feel like we complement each other with like writing and stuff. I feel like it just works for us so well.
Yeah, we've always had like the same taste in like music to movies to like everything. So like when we like discovered like bands like My Chemical Romance and Jimmy World, and then we got into Thrice and Mineral and like all the classic emo bands, like that we grew up on these bands. And so like knowing like this is all we want to do. So so we used to
having the common goal of the same dream
kind
of drove us to want to
and
be successful.
Even like Ryanair used to, like, because we live in the south of Ireland in a town called Clonie, which is 3.5 hours on a train away from Dublin. Yeah. So there is no scene. Our debut album was recorded before we ever played a live show, which a lot of people wouldn't even, some be like, what? Yeah. You recorded your debut album before you ever played a live show? Because we could never, there's no scene where we're from whatsoever. Yeah. So anyway, Ryanair used to do like 2 cent flights, and we used to like fly over to London to see like Jimmy World and Take My Sunday. So like we grew up like seeing these bands and being like so inspired.
Yeah, I feel like we just both loved it so much that we, like I said, we have the same dream, and I think that works for us. And we're lucky like that we don't fight about music.
Yeah,
that's the one thing we don't ever like argue over. We always just get each other when it comes to that. Like if Paul will bring a song idea to me, I always love it. I get it straight away. We can hear how it's going to sound like full band straight away. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's a really integral thing as well, is kind of, not to sound too cheesy or whatever, but it is a case of following your dream, right? Because you know, when, again, like I've told this before on the podcast, so previous listeners, I apologize, but basically when I turned like 14, I remember going home from school, and there was a bottle of Coca-Cola on my bed, a Kerrang! Magazine, and Green Day's American Idiot. And genuinely, that was how it happened, right? And then I used to sit there and read Kerrang! And Metal Hammer. I'm like, I want to fucking do what they do. And essentially, this is that. Do you know what I mean? And it's kind of like, but I always thought that you kind of have to have, you know, a free pass, or you had to have this, or you had to have that. And it's like, no, you've just got to work hard and just be passionate about it. You know, that's,
like I said, we live in the south of Ireland. We have no connections to anyone in the music industry.
For sure.
Like we couldn't even have a band. It was just
why it's the two of us.
Yeah, so like to show how the day our band started, it was like, we found a guy in our town who was a guitarist. He was playing like traditional Irish music. So we were like, we can turn him emo. So we said, hey, we're starting a band. Do you want to like have an audition? Me and Steph had never played a show in our lives, so we're asking this guy for the audition. He probably thought we were insane.
Yeah, we're auditioning a guy.
So he came. He turned up the next day. And like Steph thinks I scared him away. Because I said, just so you know, we're not doing this to like for fun. We're doing this to be one of the biggest rock bands to ever walk the earth.
Yeah,
so absolutely. The next day he was like, I'm too busy. Yeah. But we had never even played a show. So I 100% understand him thinking we're insane. So then we were like, okay, we can't wait anymore. Let's just book ourselves into a studio for the first time in like 2 weeks so we can write a song. We'd never finished a song because we were, you know that feeling when you're waiting for the other band members to come so you can do it.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, we'll just ask the producer, can you just put program drums on it and just bring it, like make it full band. So we've never been to a studio before. We don't have a clue what we're doing. So we just finished, we're writing a song called Afterthoughts, the first song we ever wrote. Yeah. Went into the studio, so nervous. Recorded it. We always remember the producers blasting it back, and we're like, "Oh my god, that's how we wanted to sound." Yeah. You mean hearing ourselves as the first full band for the first time? Yeah. The next day, we posted it on SoundCloud and YouTube. The next day, 24 hours later, Warner Brothers, Sony, Universal, every major label emailed us, and we were like,
"What is going on? Like, this is it's like all of your dreams, I guess." I say that loosely now, but coming true overnight. It's just,
we thought they were our friends, like making fake emails and messing with us, because that doesn't happen. Yeah. You don't just post your first song. You've never played a show before, and just like,
and this was pre TikTok and like Instagram stuff. Like it wasn't in the internet time in that sense.
You sound like we're from the 80s.
It wasn't like TikTok now. I feel like you can get discovered overnight.
Yeah,
in a way.
But even I think in our, even when this happened like 6 years ago, it's kind of like you would still need to have 100,000 YouTube subscribers. Like we had zero. So for us to just do it via our song, like it's like kind of crazy for it to happen overnight that quickly.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know what? I think we share kind of a kinship in that respect, because again, no one gave me any kind of permission to sit and do this, you know, and it's just, I kind of have the mantra of saying, if you don't ask, you don't get. And you know, like some of the most cheeky fucking emails I've sent out, just gone, do you fancy it? And they're like, yeah, right, it's a Tuesday, why not? I've got nothing better to do. Do you know what I mean? And it is a case that, you know, so for example, this year I got to sit down with Andy Caines of Therapy, and I love Therapy. I grew up on that band, and I was kind of like, he sat across from me, I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? That, like, and it was that mad moment. So it is just a case of, yeah, exactly. But it is just a case of, like, if you put your mind to it and you're passionate about it, 9 times out of 10, if you put the work in, it will happen. You know what I mean? So it makes perfect sense.
We're like the biggest proof of that, in the sense of like, we couldn't even start a band. We live with no scene, like no connections to anyone. So we're the biggest proof is just believe, write the bet. Like some advice, like 99% of advice I always heard from bands growing up is just get out there and play shows. But we were like, but we don't have a band to do that. So what do we do? So my advice to people is, write the best song you can possibly do, songs you can right now, because it doesn't matter if you play 400 shows if your songs aren't good enough yet.
Yeah.
But you can just write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 incredible songs that you've poured your heart into, and you can achieve literally anything.
Yeah. And I feel like even with us, after we signed to a label and then getting dropped and stuff, and then again being relentless, I guess, and not stopping and not letting anything stop us, we know what we want, we know the goals we want to achieve. And I think if someone says, oh, you can't do that, that makes us want to do it more.
It's kind of like, if you, but like, we got dropped, but we were never like, oh, that means these songs aren't good enough. In our mind, it was like, I think we were like, they're making a massive mistake, but all the best to the label. And then those songs went viral on Instagram, TikTok, and changed our lives. Like, so like In Autumn got like nearly 6 million views, and Afterthought, multiple songs, all the songs that got struck went viral and has changed our lives. And so, and even all those like people we used to work with have all these new songs. They had Antidote. They have Everything You're About to Hear. So that's why I'm so excited, in the sense that it's like, we believed in these songs. We were never like cut off by someone like dropping us. Just if you believe, that's all that matters. And you can literally.
And the worst one can say is no. And then, okay, if they don't like it, then that's their own opinion.
Yeah, like, some people like put their full faith in a person. Yeah. Like if that person doesn't like it, that doesn't mean that another 6 billion people in the world. Yeah. How many people?
I don't know.
What you mean? It's just like, literally, you could just believe in yourself. And like, I know it's like cliche, but seriously, we're the biggest proof that you can achieve absolutely anything.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I wanted to touch on Antidote as well, because again, I think this is probably more of a precedent for you guys as a band, because like you say, the social media is such a big thing, but YouTube videos. So I'm, like I say, I turned 30 this year in 2023, and it's kind of like, YouTube videos were so important back in the day, like MTV, rest in peace, Scuzz, Kerrang TV, that kind of thing, right? But nowadays, it's kind of like, it's kind of, because of social media, TikTok, it's kind of making a bit of a resurgence again. So I wanted to talk about the Antidote video because, firstly, I went to, I studied film and stuff at college, and fucking beautifully shot. Like, just props for that. But also, there were some proper sketchy fire scenes. How sketchy was it filming that? Because I was, again, I was looking on TikTok and things like that just last night, and I was like, yeah, that's...
Did you see the one with the tree falling? The tree,
yeah, that's the one I mean. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It was like treatment for the video. There was not going to be any trees on fire or anything. It would just sort of be like performance. Like,
we had the whole hospital thing, the nurse thing.
And then we rocked it. We filmed it in Atlanta. For and sure. our director was like, we have a tree on fire, like we have a tree, like a fake tree, and like, that's your thing. I was like, that's our
and
vibe.
He's like, I have a gasoline can, let's just throw some petrol on this.
At the end of the night, when it's all wrapped up, let's just go outside into the car park and just
and Paul just
light that shit up.
Yeah, and Paul just looked epic playing guitar.
And it just it looked sick. Like, but yeah, halfway through. It just collapsed, almost hit me,
I was filming that, and if the video like went on a bit longer, you could just hear me screaming. Yeah. And I was like, oh my god, am I just about to film my brother dying?
That is how dedicated we are. You mean absolutely. I put my life at risk. Like, it was worth it though.
You're like Tom Cruise, you do your own stunts.
I am the new Tom Cruise. I'm a mixture of like Jim Corr and Tom Cruise. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So the reason I bring that up is because there's a brilliant story of a rapper I like called Scroobius Pip, right? And basically his whole video, he done a video called Introduction, and essentially what he'd done is he hired a shipping container, like didn't tell the person he was hiring off what was happening, and literally just set fire to loads of shit in it, right? And there was just like smoke, and there was this whole thing, it's just like, don't ask for permission, just apologize later. Yeah. That's always the way forward.
Do it. I love that. But yeah, we're always happy to sacrifice for our art. Like we grew up on like classic like music videos by like MCR and Fall Out Boy stuff. So and Blink. So we're a band, like visuals is so important for us. I know like some people still say, I saw someone on TikTok, one of those like advice people on TikTok. Music videos are dead and stuff. Yeah. But like I think it's like discovering a band and watching a video, I think you can just see how much that band cares and to tell a story and bring the song to life. And even the amount of messages we've got, like, oh my god, Antidote is my favorite video I've seen in years. It feels like it was on like Kerrang like back in 2008, and kind of like
I can't imagine not having those visuals releasing songs that would, even if music videos are dead, we won't stop making them.
It's our favorite like We might have been working one last night that's being edited right now. You never know.
Oh, there we go.
So like, you never know. But like, yeah, music videos, like visuals, like from like artwork, like even in our artwork, we love like bringing the songs to life and have every kind of like, I don't know, people don't even know, it's like even our debut album after, some people have spotted it, but on our debut on Afterthoughts, like every single song is referenced in that artwork, from the Forest on Fire to Walking Through Snow from Safe Haven, but. Every in the lake, so we love like connect visuals and artwork and lyrics, everything interlinking and connecting is like so important for us. Yeah. Like,
and that's what we grew up on. It's why I fell in love with My Chemical Romance, because their visuals, they had that whole thing, is more than just music. Yeah. It's you can just
feel like you're escaping to their world.
You feel like you're escaping and you can become like a movie character.
Yeah, that's what we love in about messages we've got from people, like our music is an escape to them. And but it's to like. We our body of work, we never have like, oh, here's just a song. It's like, okay, this song links into this song, this connects into this. This is a throwback to this song from our first album. So it's kind of like we love, it's a piece of art. Like, so we just pour our hearts into everything.
Yeah. I think that's the thing as well. I challenge anyone in 2024 to go and watch a band who hasn't got some sort of visual aesthetic on stage as well, because that's the thing. Yeah. It's all part of it. It's all part of the thing. And, you know, I will go out on a limb and say this. I do not want the return of the 2010 Topshop lad kind of culture bands. And they just all look the same. It was, you know, nothing against them, fair play, but they all sound, you know, it was definitely a time, and we're definitely past that time, thank god. So I wanted to
bring it back, Paul. You bring that back.
I'll bring it back.
I wanted to touch on as well the fact that obviously you're going out as direct support for As December Falls, but also on your own headline shows as well. How do you kind of mentally get into the headspace of preparing for a show? What's going on sort of half an hour before stage? Because like I say, I've done this for 4 years now, and a lot of people say to me, like, some people go into like, they'll go to like a tiny little corner of the room, have a bit of zen. Other people are running around, like, kind of find cables and bits and bobs. What's kind of your headspace before you hit the stage?
I always feel pretty calm. I just feel excited. I have a cup of peppermint tea. That's so important for me, for my voice. And yeah, just, I think because it's fun. Yeah. I don't really, it's the one time I don't get nervous. Like, obviously you have that little butterfly in your stomach, like, but it's good. Like, I never, it's all we wanted to do. So I just love being on stage. Yeah. I feel like it's just like I said earlier, I feel like a movie character. It's like my alter ego comes out, and it's just so fun. And even like for supporting a band, I love, okay, people could be discovering us for the first time tonight. I just find that so exciting.
Yeah.
And just being able to, like, how lucky are we get to stand on a stage and sing songs we wrote in a different country. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, even like thanks to like our music, we were luckily been able to like play some like big stuff early on in our career, like Reading and Leeds and supporting Thrice and playing Rock and Ring, like very early on. So like we're just kind of like we're used to like the high pressure situation. Like I remember we were playing Rock and Ring, and it was like our 19th show, and we found out the day before it's going to be in a 10,000 capacity. And me and Steph were like, what? This, no one is going to be there. No, this is our 19th show. And I remember us walking out, and like they had Irish flags, and they were chanting Kerry, where we're from in the south of Ireland. So it's kind of like,
just enjoy it, embrace it. Even if like we played to that, and then we played to five people.
Yeah, we played.
We didn't change the show.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make the show any less.
Remember, we played a show in Bridgewater. I mean, there's like probably 15 people there.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of.
And I love, and that clip of In Autumn that went viral was from that show. And there was only 15 people there.
Yeah. So it's
just enjoy it and just put your all into it, because it's fun at the end of the day.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. And you know what makes me laugh is when you guys inevitably blow up and become the big fucking massive rock stars you deserve to be, it will be a case of those 15 people, there'll suddenly be 100,000 people at that Bridgend show, or at least claiming they were at that show. Yeah, I was at a show, and it's like, hang on a minute, I was on stage, you were not there. I could see all the heads and all the faces, do you know what I mean?
We are very like, we don't care if we play to five people or 500 people. It's just like, this is all we've ever wanted to do, and just being on stage is what it feels like we've always meant to do, and we just enjoy every second of it.
And you have to start somewhere. I mean, you can't,
exactly. Some people want to skip that stage.
Skip it.
We want to, like, literally, we're like playing to 15 people. Like, there's 15 people in this other country in the UK that I've never been to and are coming to see us.
Yeah,
and then we played, like I said, bigger shows. So, like major festivals, and there's like thousands of people there. So it's kind of like, we just love every second of it, and this is all we've ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you know what, as well, I think that us as music fans, and I'm talking about the people listening to the podcast stuff, I think when a band doesn't have, like, you know, solid foundations, and they're kind of quote unquote been planted there, we can tell, we can smell it from a mile off. And that's the thing. Yeah. And I'm not going to name names, and I don't expect anyone to, but like, when they get announced to every festival, and it's kind of like, where the fuck have you come from then? But the thing is, that falls apart the second they play their headliner, and there's no support there, because, you know, you built your house on sand, you know what I mean? So it's a strange one.
Yeah, even with like our music, like, because like emo and pop punk is so in right now, I love like how people are discovering our music, and they can tell it's organic. Like, we grew up on like Jimmy and Taking Back Sunday and Mineral, all these bands. So a lot of, you can tell when
I can see, I always see, oh, again, I won't name names, but I've seen bands literally switch genres
quickly. Like,
they went from sounding like the 1975, because that was in, and now they want to try and sound pop punk, and it's just like, I can see straight
through
that.
it's kind of like all the best to those people, but it's just like, we're just creating the music that we love.
We're just in our own bubble.
While some bands, you can tell, they're like, okay, what's in right now? Okay, I don't really like this, but it's in. And like, we're very kind of like,
we don't kind of look at anyone else.
Yeah, like we well. Like I said, like our debut album, we knew we were creating like a Calm to Storm album, like inspired by like Clarity and like Mineral and Moving Mountains. It's like, and like even back then, like even our management and labor time were like, what the hell are they doing? What are they doing? Like classic fast, well, do a fast paced pop punk record. And it was like,
where's the Paramore song?
Literally that was told for us. And we're like, you haven't signed them.
Yeah.
In a sense of, and then years later, we get dropped by those people. And years later, people are discovering and being like, oh my God, this is the best debut album I've heard in a long time.
And I feel like you just have to find the people that get you.
Yeah, exactly.
It could take time, but you will find your people.
Yeah, even like bands listening to this, like discovering your team, like you don't need a manager. Let them like to be emailing like a billion people.
Yeah, let them come to you.
Like, because we've done that. Yeah. We've done that. And you need them. Then as soon as we stop that, they come to you. Naturally like find like your dream team, and you want to find someone that loves your music like as much as you, which is in the dream world, like which is sometimes the hardest thing to do. But yes, but patience and just like believing in your songs, that's like the biggest thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I can attest to being a one man, obviously you guys are a two man operation, but being a one man operation with this podcast is I send out a lot of emails, and you know, I'm always grateful for any kind of response, but sometimes this is always a good thing, never a negative thing. I'll get like four emails in the same day going, yes, yes, yes. And I'm like, oh fuck. Now I've got to like try and find time to schedule it, which is never a bad thing. You used the word kind of dream scenario, and that's a really, really good segue into the next thing I want to talk about, because it is essentially a Dream Rider festival, right? So what I would like to know is, so if you play along, the better it is, right? So when Spotify, Apple, Deezer, Tidal, whoever, insert big corporate brand, buys this podcast and we become an exclusive to their platform, fine. What I'm going to do is have loads of lovely corporate sponsor money. And what I'm going to do is, rather than reinvest it in the podcast like a normal human being, I'm going to basically blow it on a one-time big festival, right? And Grey Wind are invited to play along with all the other different artists who appear on the show. It's going to be a very large, eclectic bill, let me tell you. But in any case, what I'd like to know is what you would like to add to the Dream Rider of the festival. Now, the key for this is we've got loads of corporate money. So the money is unlimited. You can have whatever you want. But also, we're having it in the biggest field that we can physically get our hands on. So, like, space isn't really an option or a problem. So, to give you kind of a couple of examples of said thing, we've had people say masseuses are very popular, like hot tubs, jacuzzis, like self-care stuff. We've had people say they want, like, roller coaster rides. We've had people say they just want to turn up and play, which, you know, it's a kind of a waste of the opportunity, to be honest.
We're going all out.
Absolutely.
I know what I want.
Before you say the answer, I thought this is going to be a question of like, who are you picking on the festival?
Yeah.
Like, no. We've never had this question this before, so thank you. So yeah, that means, I was like, okay, I know Steph's answer is going to be MCR.
I love the roller coaster answer, but that's not my answer.
Yeah.
But I would go on that roller coaster.
Yeah,
absolutely. There we go.
Mine would be a massive like tent full of pug puppies that I can just sit
with
before the show.
And I just sit with them like the pug cafes that exist, and I just sit with them. I'd have a cup of coffee or a peppermint tea before the set, and I just have loads of pugs around me.
That's a good answer. They'll get you canned before the show,
or get you really hyped.
I have to say, because I always make this joke, when everyone mentions animals, we must keep them away from the black metal bands. I'm sorry, it's a really poor taste joke, but I can't. Every time it comes out, I can't resist making it. How about you, Paul?
Oh, have you been to California before?
I've not been to the US at all before, unfortunately.
Okay. In-N-Out Burger. There's In-N-Out Burger.
I know that.
What is like? We recorded all our new songs in LA. We just got back like 2 weeks ago.
Amazing.
So In-N-Out Burger is, if you haven't had it, it's incredible. But there's In-N-Out Burger. You see sometimes events that there's like In-N-Out Burger trucks. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get them flown over to the festival. Fine. In like, we might use the shipping containers that that guy used that flew up earlier. So we get the In-N-Out Burger trucks over. So
all the pugs would eat all the burgers.
See, and I'm the person, I'm not going to eat before the show. I'm a person that doesn't eat before the show.
I need to eat.
Steph's the opposite. So me being on stage, I'll be pouring my heart into your festival, knowing you provided me with In-N-Out Burger after this show, and I can just relax and enjoy it. But so yeah, that's
my answer. That'll be the greatest show we ever played.
It will, like pug puppies, and before the show, In-N-Out after.
Oh, like that's Damn, yeah. That's the best.
Like, can we sponsor it to call it like Greyfest or something?
Yeah, that works. That works. I mean, we've definitely got a few kind of emo bands, and we can make a day stage out of you with you guys. Absolutely, that makes perfect sense. I've got a couple final questions for you. One of which is, obviously, we're speaking a lot about kind of new music and things and things happening in 2024. What can you tell us? And I know that Sarah's going to be going, fucking don't say a word in your ears. I can hear her already. But what can you talk about in 2024 that's happening?
Something is...
just a lot.
A lot of things. Cool,
a storm is brewing. I can see the cogs in your brains going, what like, can we say?
We're working on like so many like crazy, sick things are happening, yeah. Even like show-wise in countries we've never been in before. Yeah. And new music is dropping sooner than people expect.
Yeah.
Because usually, yeah, so very early in 2024, people are going to get
more
and
good things.
And it's, well, I won't leak it, but I'll say it might be my personal favorite Graven song you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Well, there so, we go.
That might be the next thing here. Yeah.
At least it's not the generic, it's the heaviest thing we've ever released, which is always
the heaviest. So heavy. No, this is like the next, whenever the next thing is release, just know it's the song that we've been sitting on since 2017.
And we've been so excited.
And it's been the song that I've been listening to every day for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I've been like, this song is special. Yeah. To be honest, all the songs, it's like knowing, but then when the one comes after, I'll be like, that's my favorite. Yeah. But this is these songs we've been, because usually bands like write their new music. And then it's out in 2 months from it. Mm-hmm. And they haven't,
we didn't get a chance to do that.
But in a good way, lived with these songs for years.
Yeah.
And we just know how much they're special and how much we believe in them. So I'm just so excited for people to hear our new music, even like the reaction to Antidote and knowing what we have up our sleeve. I'm like, so excited.
Even show wise, we're going to be actually touring, which is great.
Yeah, we're working on some literally right now, some crazy things that hopefully that we'll get to announce very early in the new year. So
we're doing the UK, and then we'll be going to other places. We might be back in the UK. It's a lot of really good.
So anyone listen to this? We're playing a headline show in London, Glasgow and Bristol early next year, and then supporting ADF across the UK as well. So it's going to be so special getting to debut all these new songs live for the first time.
Yeah.
Lovely job. And you know what? You're coming to Norwich. So I shall hopefully catch you at the Norwich show. But
definitely amazing.
And you know what? It's one of those things where, you know, we're very lucky in little old Norwich, in the east of Anglia in the UK, because we're in the arse end of nowhere, but bands travel. Mm-hmm. And I always think it's kind of amusing, if not frustrating, when I see people on online going, why don't you come to my back garden and play a show? It's like, they've literally traveled like on fucking aeroplanes.
We were talking literally like two nights ago, we played an acoustic set in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we loved it. And then we're in the van after, I checked my phone and we literally have a tweet, please come to Birmingham.
We
literally played it 15 minutes ago.
I love that. I've got one final question for you both, and it's a question I've asked every single artist who's been gracious enough to give me their time in the last 4 years, and it is simple. What is the best thing about being in a band for you guys personally?
That is a good question. I think just like I said earlier, I think for me, when we play shows and just seeing people sing back and knowing that they have that as an escape, because that's what music was for me growing up. When you're a teenager and you're in your emo phase and you hate the world,
absolutely.
I think it's so nice. Yeah, literally, that was me, and that still is me.
Yeah.
But just, I remember listening to My Chemical Romance when I was 14, and I love that we can do that for someone now, and they had that escape, and the stories that people have told us about how we've saved them and they've saved us. So it's those stories we hear are probably the best, which is their sad stories sometimes, and then there's good ones, and it's hearing how our music has helped people is probably my
mine is pretty similar. So getting to travel to places we've never been before and meeting fans who've discovered our music and just seeing how far our music have reached and connected with people, and just when we're playing a show and I can see people crying in the front row, I was like, I'm almost crying on on stage because of that, seeing because we, like I said earlier, we pour our hearts into every lyric, like every note you hear. Yeah. So seeing it connect with in like places like, you know, like Norwich, and even on this tour, like even in like that we've never been before, and there's lots of places on this tour that we've never been before, and just
Milton Keynes.
I don't even know where Milton Keynes is, but like the amount of messages we have, people of like going to see us for the first time, and even like the amount of messages we have from like fans in the US and Australia, and even Philippines recently have been exploding recently. So
in India,
getting to travel to places and like just meet the fans I've discovered on music, that like that's my favorite thing about being in a band.
You know what, I will end the podcast on this little anecdote about Milton Keynes. Right, the only reason I've ever been to Milton Keynes was to see My Chemical Romance, and the only takeaway I have from that show is the fact that Milton Keynes is basically one big giant roundabout. But there you go. it's a city built on roundabouts.
That's why I thought of Milton Keynes there, because that's the only reason I know that name, because of My Chemical Romance.
MCR were playing there. The amount of messages that we got from people, I remember we actually put it on our, this is before we even went viral. So if people scrolled on our Instagram and Twitter, we screenshotted the amount of messages we got from people saying, I'm at the MCR gig in Milton Keynes, and there's so many people wearing Grey Wind t-shirts at the gig.
They just knew that we'd appreciate that.
I just loved hearing. I was like, oh my God, like our dreams to support MCR one day. So that helped.
And then we saw them in Dublin, and I wore a Grey Wind t-shirt to it because I was like, I'm manifesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Lovely job. Guys, I wish you all the luck in the world with the tour. I'm hoping to make it down to the Norwich show. This is being recorded in December, so I hope you have a lovely Christmas and lovely New Year if you're celebrating. And yeah, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, guys. It's and sorry about the techie issues at the beginning, but we made it work.
Yeah,
lovely.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, guys. See you later. Bye.